Is that better? Aye, good. My computer just shut down there for some reason, I don't know why.
Paul is in Ireland for this recording and having some technical issues. He is not, contrary to how it sounds, rustling crisp packets or randomly playing the maracas. You're joining us from Ireland.
I am. I'm in Enniskillen at the moment. It's quite near that season, Dave, actually.
They're banned, I think, this year.
Well, I think they are. I think you're right, but I'm sure there'll still be some description.
Some dedicated souls.
Enniskillen's my... That's where we're all from, Enniskillen. You know that, eh? That's where the Coxies are.
Who the Coxies?
Wow. That's where they all came from. That's where Grandpa's from.
Oh, because I remember you had a dairy herd, didn't you? And you were called the Coo Cox Clan.
The Ku Klux Klan, that's right.
Come on, everybody.
Was it a dairy herd or a dairy herd?
Ah, nice.
Paul Riley, I'd like to thank you. We put out a thing on Twitter asking people for questions for the podcast, and then you went onto Twitter and answered the questions on Twitter.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Anytime, mate. Anytime. I'm always eager to please, Dave. Jane, you're at the bottom of the screen. Aye.
There's a whole lot of the food chain generally.
There's a whole lot of wall going on.
I saw a film that was actually shot like that almost entirely. It was a Spanish film, so it was at the BAFTA screening thing. And the whole thing was shot with that. People's chins and then massive amounts of blank wall.
El Torso.
El Torso, that was it. That was the one.
That's it, yeah. Jane, are you scared, darling, to put your whole body in case a photograph's taken again because you look like a care what you're doing?
Your body if you want. It's just because the laptop's on the bed. Wait a minute, hold on. Here
are, are you in the scud?
No, look.
All right. That's
covered, ready.
No, the tappy, your head's gone.
Is that better?
That's excellent.
I know. Excellent. It's a wee bit weird because I'm in my bed, so you know, I kind of tilted it up a wee bit so you maybe didn't see all of it. But I'll say this. Dear God, it's terrible when you see yourself kind of from the bottom up. What an overrun, everybody takes selfies looking up. What a chin that is, the day. Thanks for that, Paul.
Paul Riley, are you introducing this one? This is your title as well, this one.
Well, I'll introduce it and then you can explain what it's about, right? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of planet Earth, hello and welcome to episode 7, A Whole Bowl of Rang. Can you explain to me, like I'm Father Dougal Maguire, what this week's topic is?
Yes, this topic is small. Those topics are far away.
Again, back on the coups already.
It's always good to get back in the coup that kicked you. Well, there you go. Get back in the horse that threw you. That's what we're talking about. Idioms. Because we have these phrases like, you'll feel the back of my hand. And those phrases quite often mean nothing in other countries.
Yeah. Oh, God, aye. What we decided, folks, was that we would put in a bit of effort for once and do some research. So we did some homework and we've come up with a couple of unusual ones that you may not know the origins of. So we're going to just kick the can a bit with that for a wee bit.
I did a CBB show called Me Too.
Hashtag Me Too.
It's an unfortunate title in this climate, but there we have it. So the whole point of each episode was that I would have a wee phrase or a wee idiom, but mostly I never understood them, but sometimes they touched me. There was one, David, you would like, and it was a play the music and the crowd will follow. And then the whole episode was based on that.
Nice.
So another one, sometimes things are bigger than they look, which was so that was a lovely one for Granny Murray too. And then in the middle of the episode, suddenly, Granny Murray, her words of wisdom would save the day.
Oh,
it came full circle.
I dread to think how Granny Murray saved the day about the phrase, it's bigger than it looks.
So not only can we make a podcast about idioms, I can make 197 episodes of a kids' TV show based on
Jane, is that how many you did?
Well, David will fact check it. Probably wasn't.
Fact check!
The BBC CBeebies show Me Too, a drama series for 4 to 6 year olds about the parallel lives of parents at work and their children who stay with warm-hearted minder Granny Murray, ran for 154 episodes.
That number sounded... It sounded quite naturally.
It sounded fun, that programme. Remember you would text occasionally. You would say,
owing to the fact that Mark's anecdote was not interesting, had no basis in fact, and obviously did not impugn Jane McCarrie in any way whatsoever, we thought we'd play some music.
It was difficult because I was on my own a lot with kids who believed me to be a childminder. And, you know, they'd be fighting and their parents or whoever they were with were looking through a screen like a two-way mirror. So I couldn't really give the kids into trouble because the parents were watching. But the kids would look at me with such little respect because I wasn't dealing with what was right in front of me and I was supposed to be a childminder. So, yes, it was very happy, happy memories, but it was mental.
As they say, that's just how it happened because what's for you will not go by you.
Yay!
Nice.
I would like
nice.
To say this to the younger folk listening. I took that as fact, and it's false, yeah?
It if you don't grab it,
yeah, it'll go past you at 3,000 miles an hour if you stay in your bed hoping for it to come. So don't be lazy. You get out of your bed and go and do it. Don't wait for it to come.
Would you say that you have to be quite heartless to get on? The Spanish, for example, would say, gatos con guantes no cazan ratones. Cats and gloves. Catch no rats.
Nice. Exactly the same thing.
That's a belter.
Which is being nice gets you nowhere, which I don't agree with. For some reason, they seem to see that as being cats and gloves.
You don't have to be, for want of a better phrase, ball bag about it. Just be nice.
I'm all in agreement with that. I was just trying to shoehorn the subject in.
I know you were.
Being nice, I think, gets you everywhere. Because even if you don't get things from being nice, you get to sleep at night knowing that you're not a complete arsehole.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or to sleep with somebody you've been nice to.
Well, that's why you're nice to people, isn't it?
Then you're paying it forward. Boom! Another one.
Hey.
A nice thing happened to me yesterday. So I came in to Enniskillen and came into the hotel. It was like, I'll no tell you any lies. It's a bit like The Shining, right? there's nobody here. I think maybe one other couple, maybe, I don't know. And I checked in and so I said, I'll go for a beer. So I went to this pub, right? And Ireland opened like last week, I think it was. And she said to me, I went in, she says, right, I can give you a beer, but you have to order food. I went, right, okay. She went, but the only thing on the menu is chicken, goujons and chips. And I was like, right, okay then, I'll have that and a pint, please. She said, right, go and take a seat over there. So then she came over, right? She took out a wee pad, right? She wrote chicken, goujons and chips. She tore the slip off and gave me my copy. Then went out the pub and across the road to the chippy. got my chicken goujons.
So that doesn't make any sense. You could have had a fish supper. Well, she'd pay for a rolling sausage, Paul, on the ferry.
Oh, Joe, don't get me started, honest to God. I nearly jumped overboard. I sent everybody in the podcast the receipt. One rolling sausage, £5.40.
Oh.
That is expensive, but that's nautical hog you're getting there. They actually catch the beast on board, slaughter it, prepare it. So it's expensive.
But
it's for you, no go. £5.40!
But to be fair, they did have a mask. Not a gun, but a mask. So,
everybody so far has been wearing a mask, and my bank account will testify to that.
I know. How is that going to work? If you want to rob a bank, this is the best possible time to
ideal.
Do it.
Because you can wear gloves and a mask and no one's going to question it.
No, that's true, actually.
Rob the bank and then spend days still wearing your gloves.
It's been amazing how they've actually counteract the robbing of post offices by simply shutting the branch down.
Yes.
It's ideal.
The guys who did the, what's that place where they sell all the jewellery?
Dubai.
The Gael Arcade.
All right.
Dubai. they all got lifted in Edinburgh about 2 hours later because they were all wearing Rolex watches and a bookies in Edinburgh.
Fur coats and crowns.
Can I just say something here? There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Oh.
Idiom.
Well, do you know what idiom annoyed me? You'll be late for your own funeral. No, I'll say it's always my fault when I'm late. Right, I'll take responsibility for that. But if I was late for my own funeral, genuinely, that wouldn't be my fault. That would be anybody's fault. I don't understand why people would say that. Does anybody else understand that one?
Well, I'd say you'd lose your head if it wasn't attached.
Was good. These are just bits of hyperbole that just take something to a ludicrous extent.
I meant screwed on. Attached. Your head if it wasn't attached.
Well, on the subject of funerals, Jane, does anybody know the origins of going for a button?
Yes.
You do know?
I don't.
I do know, actually, yes.
Back in the day when somebody passed and you didn't have a lot of money, the cheapest suit you could bury somebody in was a button suit, hence the phrase, gone for a button.
Yeah, you would be saying I'd be going for a Bernardo's nowadays.
Or a boohoo.
A boohoo. A boohoo, yeah.
We filmed in a crematorium, didn't we?
Aye.
And we did get to see behind the scenes a wee bit. And I have to say, I was very impressed. I was very impressed how nice and compassionate the staff were. And there was a girl, her job was to grind bones that hadn't burned. And she was covered in the powder from the bones. That was horrific. But it was actually cheerful and quite lovely.
Keep your powder dry.
A phrase that obviously started in crematoria. Because if it's not dry, then the powder bone just sticks to your face. Fact check. While it might be obvious that the phrase is about gunpowder and not ground-up bones, it's not common knowledge that it's attributed to Oliver Cromwell, who, on the eve of a battle when his troops were about to cross a river, told them, "Put your trust in God, but mind to keep your powder dry."
Well, we talk about maybe where we're going or where we're not going.
Oh. Where we're not going. But listen, in order to find out where we're not going, I shall spin the Lazy Susan of Doom.
Going to be Australia this week. Must be. Going to be Australia. Well, here we go, folks.
It's Stranraer.
Stranraer.
That's a coincidence with you in Ireland, Paul Riley.
So is I. I was there the other day down in Stranraer.
It's fat nose and Gaelic, isn't it?
It's fat nose and Gaelic, indeed.
Mm. Aye, because of the landmass, the, what do you call it, peninsula or something?
The headland, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, that's not the point. I believe you're doing a show called Still Gone, is that
that's
correct?
That's right, David.
What date are we doing that show there
well,
next year? Still Gone.
It would appear that we are doing it on April Fool's Day 2021 in Stranraer.
April Fool's Day, special guest Johnny Cash.
Yes, the three of us will be coming down to Stranraer and sharing pretty much the same as what we're sharing right now. Anybody get any facts about Stranraer they'd like to share? Who would like to know the population of Stranraer?
Oh, well, that's a must.
12,000.
Go guess, Coxie.
12,900.
I'd say 30.
I don't deal in numbers in that way, as you well know. The population is 10851. And
nice.
The last senior football ground in the UK to have floodlights installed was Stranraer FC.
You just stole my fact.
Ah, yes. 1981.
I'll just read you a lovely little thing, because the people of Stranraer obviously are from Galloway, that area.
Yeah.
And Daniel Defoe, I've read from him before. His lovely, lovely diary of travelling through Scotland is beautiful. He says, "As we passed a peninsula which is formed by two arms of the sea, one in the north side called Lochrane and the other on the south called Bay of Glenluce, we stopped at Stranraer. Good roads for ships and full of fish, but still no genius for trade or for sea affairs of any kind. But having said thus, much of the stupidity of the people of Galloway, and especially the sea coast, for not falling into merchandising fishing, which would doubtless turn to great account, I must premise, they are not all stupid. The people of Galloway itself are not perfectly idle. They do not starve, though they do not fish."
Wow.
Well, lovely guy.
No, I'm not having that. Been to Stranraer many, many, many times. I love that whole neck of the woods.
Galloway, beautiful.
Very ancient, the harbour. Oh, and it's beautiful.
I'll tell you one thing, though. I'll tell you one thing about the people of Stranraer being daft, David. You'd be daft not to buy a ticket.
Oh, nicely done. Boom.
They have an oyster festival every year. Again, like ourselves having to cancel. No, this year. Nothing's happening this year. But Loch Ryan is Stranraer is just at the top of Loch Ryan. I'll tell you this information.
Have they moved it?
I know it's got a bit Highland.
It's now in Lewis.
It's now in Lewis. So they've got one of the largest oyster beds in Scotland. 1 million oysters, and that dates back to 1701, when a royal charter was granted to those very oysters. Fact
check. In 1701, William III granted the royal charter of the oyster beds to the Wallace family of Stranraer. Sadly, despite campaigning by the oysters, a royal charter was never granted to them.
There you are. And oyster season's about to start. Well, that'll be in September, but it's quite soon. They'll be awful busy, the oysters, just now preparing for the season.
Some people say for all intensive purposes.
Yes, I've heard that myself.
As opposed to for all intents and purposes.
Well, do you know, it was only last year that I realised the word tribunal wasn't a tribunal. I went for years. It was only last year I went, oh, let me have a look at that word.
And
I went,
are you going for a tribunal role?
I think a lot of folk, they can go a good number of years saying the wrong.
I was the same. I thought the term was you have to speculate to ejaculate. It was actually speculate to accumulate. Yeah. Stranraer is obviously it's the gateway to the ferry, but it's got a very, very rich vein of people at quite a high level in a certain sport. I'm going to just give you a few names here. Alan Hannan, Naomi Brown, Peter Wilson. I've written Boobies Lammy. I think it's Bobby's Lammy. They were all involved in a certain sport.
What's the question, Mark? Don't keep us in the dark. What's the question, Mark?
This is this week's question. So we've got Alan, Naomi, Peter and Bobby. They were all involved in a sport. I'm going to act out the sound of this sport for you, right?
Right.
See if you can guess what the sport is, okay? Right, here we go. Hey! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Competitive masturbation.
Yeah, that's the sound you hear when you watch it.
Is it speculating to ejaculate again?
Maybe when I worked on my sex line, I told you last week, I heard that often.
They could just have been itchy, Jane.
Which is why they were phoning a sex line.
That's true.
Who knows? Yeah. Right, here's one for you. Steal my thunder, where that term comes from. MD?
Oh, well, we know this. We're all in the same profession.
Again, this goes back to homework, people. So I looked this up and it turns out it comes from the theatre. And in the 1700s, it was something, I think it was 1704, something like that. There was a playwright called John Dennis and he had a play on at the Drury Lane Theatre in London. And as part of the play, they needed a sound effect of thunder in the theatre. So he made this box and made this sound effect that replicated thunder for the theatre. Anyway, the show was cancelled because it wasn't very good, right? And the next production that came in was a production of Macbeth into the theatre. And he went to see it, and they, because it was still lying there, they used his thunder machine. And he stood up and he shouted, not only will they take my play, but they steal my thunder. And that's where
there
it comes
we are.
From.
Wow.
Yep. Nicely done, Mr. Riley, nicely done.
There you have it.
Entertaining, educational and effervescent. That's Paul Riley.
It's all these things.
R.I.P.
I had a friend who was learning Gaelic and he wanted to learn all the idioms and there'd be tons of phrases that he could. So he set off round the Isles for quite a wee while and just basically pinned people down and interrogated them. And he asked one guy he met, well, what's the Gaelic for manana manana? The guy thought, he went, well, I've never heard of that. What does that mean? He went, well, you know, putting things off until the next day. He paused and the guy went, no, we've got nothing that urgent. Culture says a lot about idioms. Like if something's not going to happen, we say pigs might fly.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, Arabic-speaking countries, pigs aren't really the food of choice. So what they say is either a book of a filmishmishy or fial mishmish, which means tomorrow with the apricots.
Oh.
Because apricots, apparently, they're only ripe, really decently ripe for a day.
Ah.
So everyone relates to your...
your culture. I've had to phone a dietitian yesterday about my mum. And I said that, well, we've already had a paediatrician in looking at her today. And she went, I said, yeah, you had a paediatrician? I went, uh-huh, this morning, looking at your mum. She's 92. Uh-huh. Oh, a podiatrist. I love getting words wrong. I'd hate not to get words wrong. Tell us a wee bit about being in Ireland, Paul.
Oh, yes.
Well, I mean, as I say, everything's just, it seems to be, you know, just getting back to some form of, what's the phrase now, the new normality, the new norm? It was that thing when, you get past Girvan and then it's just the odd car and just Artix the whole time. And actually the ferry must have been about 40% capacity. You know, like everybody's just at the beginning, getting back to things, you know. So it was very quiet. So, no, it's been fine, actually. you know, people, it's, I think people are a wee bit kind of tentative, but no, it's absolutely fine. I'm on my way today to the Republic of Ireland, and I'm going to Westport in County Mayo, so I'm going to be down there for the next couple of days to see how that goes, but looking forward to it. Be good.
I spent ages saying something blew him out the kingdom, because I thought that was the phrase rather than bloom the kingdom come.
Oh.
And that, Mr. Riley, is called an egg corn.
Go on then.
An egg corn is when you substitute something, but it still has the same meaning.
King Toots Wow Wow Pad.
Now, malapropism, we know that's where a different word is put in and it changes the meaning. Like, for example, speculate to ejaculate. Paul Riley and I worked with a lady who shall remain nameless. After the bathroom had been done up, her mother wandered round and said, "This is actually beautiful." And he's got a beautiful dildo rail all the way around the room.
Yes.
Look, so Mrs. R across the room from my mum, she's 89. She was at the doctor for, she had a urinal infection.
I mean, I was at drama college, and the security guard that used to do the halls of residence down the stairs, the fire alarm went off one day and we all had to get downstairs 2 a.m. He was walking about with his walkie-talkie. He's been the man, he's sorting it out, he's keeping things together. The radio went, and I heard them replying, and he said, Charlie, the fire brigade will be here immensely.
Hey! Brilliant.
My dad used to always take my mum, if it was a special occasion, to the King Burger, right? So I'd always go, "Dad, it's Burger King. The King Burger, we're going for our lunch, right?" And then one day, I love this, my mum said, "Your dad took me to Campbell's for lunch." I said, "Campbell's? Where's that? Is that Victoria Road?" "No, Campbell's. Campbell's are everywhere, the Campbell's." I'm like, "A Campbell's? What did you have, mum?" "A burger." I went, "Campbell's?" She went, "Yeah. Oh, everybody knows." I said, "McDonald's." She went, "Oh, I almost get my clans mixed up." Like, what?
If the mascot of Glencoe had gone the other way, we could well be eating at Campbell's.
I know, it was bizarre.
I was about 15, 16, and my mum, as you all know, and the audience won't, was Italian, and English was not a first language. And I was a teenager. You're never too keen on being out with your mum anyway. I'm into an off licence. "Hello. Hello. Do you have VD? And in the end, she wanted OVD rum.
Oh,
but
dear.
Yeah, that's horrific. Now, Mondegreens, the third bracket. We've got malapropisms, which is the wrong word. We've got egg corns, which is a different word that keeps the meaning. Mondegreens. Any idea what a Mondegreen is?
Never heard of that.
This is a lovely one. A Mondegreen is for people substitute lyrics.
So it's not just getting, like, I always thought it was "Good King Wenceslas last looked out." Who else thought it was that?
Me?
No, Paul. It's "Good King Wenceslas." That's his
oh,
name.
Oh, God, aye, so it is.
"Good King Wenceslas looked out." Is that what you mean, David?
Yes, but it's like, for example, you know, the lyrics in the ABBA song are "on the odds feel free," you know, in "when the ox roam free."
Ah, right.
But you know the second line of "Good King Wenceslas knew." The good King Wenceslas last looked out on the feast of Stephen. He turned his trousers inside out because his bum was freezing.
Hey!
There was one idiom that I didn't have to wonder about the origins of, and it was in the personal column, and it was simply a phone number, and the three words that followed it just said, "Gang bangs, nae time wasters."
The number of times that my old gran used to say that.
Right, we've all got a favourite, and my favourite one is "up to Hydo." I've heard that used almost daily from I was 3 years old.
"Up to Hydo." Is that musical, music related, Dave?
High do is obviously the top note of the octave.
Well, that frankly, that should have been, you know, noted in the Sound of Music, frankly. I'm disappointed.
There's a scene at one point where they're running out, she says, "I'm up to high do with these Nazis."
That's that's one of the Easter eggs in the DVD.
"You could take a horse to water, but you'll need to take the horse back. It's not your horse, because it's racing on Saturday. It's their strict diet."
You know, my favourite one is 40% extras smashing in a Kit Kat, but it's terrible in a story.
And a nice email this morning from Kenny. who is a Scot working in Australia. He works at the Sydney Opera House.
Oh, doesn't he commute?
He just emailed in saying how much he enjoys the podcast and the banter.
Oh.
So that was nice of him.
He didn't say three spare bedrooms. No, he just said he enjoyed the podcast.
Thanks, Jane, for that. Three spare bedrooms. Dave's staying in the studio. Jane's made that clear. That's fine.
Good day, Kenny.
Simon asks, is Peggy McAlpine as savage in real life?
Oh, no. Peggy McAlpine, Lynn McCallum, is one of the sweetest people in the whole world. She's been a foster mum for...
God, I, that's right.
...years, yes. She's adopted a gorgeous boy, Jack, and she's one of the most decent, wonderful human souls, I think.
She is. She's lovely.
Lovely, lovely. She's lovely.
Okay, he's got several subsections to this question, has Simon. Are the Neds in the show actual... Well, I'm just asking the question, okay? Are the Neds in the show actual real-life Neds? Brackets, they look it.
No, I think they're actors, they're generally, actors, aren't they? So, strangely enough, my boy Joseph last night, 10, said to me, I saw a sketch from a Still Game on YouTube, yeah? It was like a young guy in it. I went, right. He said, it's not the Mick one, it's another guy. I went, who was it? I don't know. But he was an uncultured swine. An uncultured swine?
That's superb.
Where does he hear that? What kind of Victorian chat's this?
Brilliant. Simon's on a roll here. He's basically asking, I think he's asking, is Still Game a documentary? Jane, are you a gobshite? A gabshite?
Gabshite.
Talkative.
Aye. I don't think I'm a gossip. I don't like gossips, but I do. David Goodall, I think it's, if somebody tells you something, you should take that with you to the grave. But do I want to hear every bit of everybody's life? Yes. Even if I meet you at a bus stop, yes.
Last one from Simon. Mark, are you a tightwad?
I'm not at all. I'm a very, very generous.
No, he's not. I can vouch for that.
I would say Mark Cox is one of the most generous souls you'll meet.
Thanks,
but,
David.
But, yes, as a friend, he is one of the most generous people, but he's always trying to get a bargain.
Oh, I love a bargain.
No,
oh, I love a bargain.
There's no question about that, Janie. If I'm ever like, where would I get a thing like that? Where would I get... Coxie, where do you get such... I know a place, don't worry.
And, definitely.
You know, many a time, Coxie said, just leave it with me and he'll get it, he'll order it, and then I just pay him and then that's it dealt with, because he knows all the, you know, the cut price places to go.
And I keep the difference.
Yes, you do, that's right. But I pay in gingy bottles.
What's the question, Mark?
So, The sport, which was very, very popular and has bred some wonderful players of this said sport, and the sound effect.
Oh! Yay! Hey, oh! Yay! Hey. Oh!
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the sport?
I'm going with
curling.
Yes.
Absolutely. A brush and a big heavy stain.
The Northwest Castle Hotel in Stranraer has an indoor curling rink to this day.
It was the first hotel in the world with its own indoor curling rink. I suspect it might be the only hotel in the world with its own indoor curling rink.
I would say so as well. Right, folks, thanks very much. That's us for this week. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Pretty Much Refried Beans. Remember to subscribe to the podcast and on every platform that you normally find these things. So that's your lot. See you later, folks.
Bye.
Bye. Over the moon to see you next week.
3-1 Across is an Osprey production. This episode was recorded remotely, following the rules of chicken goujon and chips with every drink. It was produced at Soundsmooth Facilities.